What's up with Florida? Why would anybody want to live there anymore? They get every storm from every direction. And it's a bunch of old people just standing there in their stucco apartments. You don't want to hit the seniors, but the storms keep coming. This past storm, Hurricane Michael, which I call Mike, was the largest and strongest storm to hit the Florida panhandle ever. It was a Category 5 just about, which means, holy crap, you're in trouble. The wind speeds were enough to knock buildings down, and they did. There was a direct strike on the Florida panhandle. That's the part of Florida that you hold. The panhandle part. Florida is a gigantic penis with a handle on it. And that's what it looks like. And that's what happened. The destruction, phenomenal. Why are these storms getting so intense? Every storm is the storm of the century, is the worst storm ever to hit, you fill in the blank. Every storm is monumental. It's historical. I'm not making any claims about climate change, but I'm just saying. Since the 1980s, some of you weren't even born yet, the storms have become increasingly more intense. Cyclical, over the centuries, perhaps. We weren't, centuries ago, we weren't taking these statistics. We don't know. But they're getting worse. They're getting more intense. Since 1980. That's a long time ago. Of course, the President of the United States is doing a campaign rally while people's houses are being blown down in Florida. Typical human response from President Trump. Putting people down while there's a storm going on. Most presidents would be hunkered down in the Oval Office with FEMA on the phone and various entities that would be able to help these poor people without power, their houses blown to smithereens through the wind damage, flooding. They'd be on top of it. This guy, no, he's just standing there yelling, making his face turn red or orange, whatever, and yelling and screaming. My president yells and screams like some type of lonely, abandoned grade school teacher whose kids don't respect them. I don't know. Anyway, did I start the show? I don't even recall. Did I do a show? Did I do one already?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
I guess I didn't do one yet. I'll do one now.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. I'm getting a little concerned about the storms, a lot concerned. My God. My God. This is not funny stuff. When storms come around that can blow your house down, Or flood the first floor of your home? What the hell's going on? Why do we just report on them and do nothing? Ron, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Thousands of people died in Puerto Rico, which is a political problem now because we didn't do much of anything to take care of that deal. Because Puerto Rico, to many Americans, is, you know, that's an appendage. I mean, seriously, whatever happened to humanity? Did you ever have that feeling of humanity where you felt bad for people that were suffering through things? You felt bad for people that had to live in their cars, if they even had one, living in the streets, didn't know where their next meal was coming from? Did you ever feel bad for somebody like that? Or someone who can't pay the bills, can lose their home? You say, well, go out and get a job for minimum wage. You think minimum wage is going to pay the bills? Things aren't better. People who are making a lot of money are making a lot more money. People who weren't making much money before aren't making much money now. Things aren't better. Have you noticed everything's getting more expensive? Have you noticed that? Spring water, man. Used to be 99 cents for a gallon of spring water. Now $1.19. $1.29. It's going up. You don't even realize it. It happens in small increments. Your salary doesn't go up that much, and if it does, you're just still breaking even. You're not better off. It's all smoke and mirrors, ladies and gentlemen. Smoke and mirrors. I had a very disturbing phone call yesterday, and I wish to tell you about it, because things that happen to me can happen to you, and if things that happen to me happen to you, that's not good for either of us. I'm sitting in my home yesterday, which is where I live, and the phone rings, the telephone, and I pick it up. Somehow they know my name. It's amazing how people you've never met before, you've never had contact with, businesses you've never beckoned, somehow they know your name. Well, that's easy to find out because of this fantastic internet thing. So they say, Mr. Van Dam. I say, yes, that is my name. They said, we'd like to talk to you for a minute. Would that be okay? I said, it depends. What do you want to say? Then the person says on the phone, it's a lady. It's a lady probably in her 50s or something. I can tag these things rather well. I can work in a carnival and guess people's ages, and I'm usually very, very close to it. That I should have had a professional job working in a carnival. I can't guess people's weight too well, but their age, I can see right through the Botox. So she says, this call is being recorded for training purposes. I said, well, I'm not training, so whatever. She says, this country is, you agree that the country is in a terrible state? I said, yes, I do. Do you agree that this president must be stopped at all costs? Yes, I do. So far, we're having a conversation to which I always respond, yes, I do. We're getting along, I suppose. She goes on like this for a couple of minutes. She says, are you annoyed by the appointment of Judge Kavanaugh? I said, well, yes, only because I think there could have been better people. But it was a sticky situation. And we go on and we talk, and we both agree that the way things are now is not what we exactly bargained for. Not even close. So then she says, a contribution, we can raise enough money to campaign against Donald Trump and change the government. Not only bring it back to where it was, but make it better. I said, I'm all for that, but I'm not going to be donating any money. This is where the agreement part of our conversation stopped. She says, do you realize, Mr. Van Dam, that without funds and contributions, we can't make our point known. The Republicans are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to campaign against Democrats. The Democrats need to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars in order to campaign as well. Mr. Van Damme, we need your millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I said, well, first of all, I don't have millions and millions and millions of dollars. Secondly, I don't believe in giving money to people that I don't know. And she says, well, we're a Democratic committee. And I said, I understand that, but I don't know you. You can't call me up as a person and say, I want you to give me money, give me your credit card number. You can't do that. Because if you do, you must think I'm stupid. But I'm not. She said, Mr. Van Damme, she says, this is how we get funds in order to make our policies known. So we'll get them from someone else who has a lot of money. I'm not giving you money over the phone. She says, well, all it takes is just a small contribution that we will match. If you donate $100, we will match the other $100. I said, well, I could say that too. How do I believe you're telling me anything that I believe? Yeah, I can. You buy a car, I'll buy a car too. What are you talking about? Why would I don't even know you? We started to argue. We started to argue back and forth. She said that they were a viable organization. I said, you can say anything you want. How do I know that? Why would I give you my credit card number when I don't know who you are? She says, Mr. Van Damme, I'm with the Democratic Party. So what? I don't know who you are. I don't even know if you are with the Democratic Party. You could be Susie Johnson, who lives in Wisconsin, who calls people up and gets their credit card numbers. I don't know that you're that woman or you're not that woman. You want me to donate something? Send me something in the mail. But I'm still not going to give you my credit card number. If I want to donate the Democratic Party, I'll find a candidate, I'll go to their fundraiser, I'll give them $100 at a fundraiser, I'll hand them a check. I'm not going to give you my credit card number over the phone, somebody I don't know. What are you, crazy? What are you, schizzed woman? What's wrong with you? And she said to me something very insulting, and I responded accordingly. She said, well, if you don't donate money, the Republicans will win, and it'll be all because you didn't donate money. I started to form a curse word with my lips, but decided not to, because I take the higher road usually. And I said, what you just said to me is shameful. And I hung up. So I defended myself. I certainly didn't give her my credit card number just because a stranger asked my credit card number. However, then I thought, oh my God, what about everybody I know who can be scammed? I don't know if it's a scam or not, but it could have been. So, you are my friends. I'm sorry, I almost said that with a straight face. Be careful. Be careful. I had read, not officially, but I had read that the political time of years, election time, brings out the scammers in droves, and they pose as political parties. You have no proof that they are or they're not. It could just be someone trying to get your credit card number. You have no proof. They have no proof. Be careful. Don't give money away. If you want to donate to something, write out a check, deliver it to the place that you want to donate to face. Get the satisfaction at least of handing somebody a check or handing somebody some cash. By the way, get a receipt because this is all deductible for the most part. But do that. Have the pleasure of giving a candidate that money if you choose to do so. If that's your choice to give money, fine. But don't make me feel bad because I can't afford to give you money. Like, if the election is lost, not in my favor, then it's my fault. Don't play this guilt game with me, young lady. I'm glad I didn't give you any credit card number. Not that I would have, but I'm glad that I didn't, because you're a piece of crap. So, ladies and gentlemen, beware. Think twice. And I'm not saying this from a paranoid position, but people are out to get you. Yeah, I know. It's sad. I know. But it's true. This is a business for many people to deceive you. Experts know how to deceive people. They study it. They have scripts. Don't be the stupid one. Don't give your money up, your hard-earned money, because someone asked you to. Think twice. If you get anything from today's show, get the fact that you must live in caution. It's sad, I know, but you got to do it. Why do you lock your door at night before you go to bed? Are you concerned that someone could break into your house or walk through your front door? Why do you take those precautions, yet you don't protect yourself against the rest of the outside world? Especially those that seek to break into your house? I mean this all as an analogy, by the way, just in case you didn't know. Okay? Why, am I being a little too bold here? Well, I hope not. Because it's important not to be a schmuck. Being a schmuck does not work for people. Be sophisticated.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
Buyer beware. Buyer beware. My guest today, coming up rather shortly, is with the National Cybersecurity Alliance. They spend all their time trying to protect us against the cyber crap. Do you realize how vulnerable we are every day of our lives if we don't think smart? You can't bumble through life anymore just bouncing off the walls. Maybe you could before. You can't do that anymore. You gotta be with it, man. You gotta be aware. You gotta carry yourself with dignity. Put your shoulders back and realize that you gotta take care of your own business. However, cybersecurity is rough. I have a laptop computer. I have two laptop computers. I'm sorry. One for business, one for pleasure, if you know what I mean. And I'm running so funny. And I also have a desktop computer. And I have your silly little cell phone computer things and, you know, those kinds of things. And I know that every day, as soon as I put my information out, someone's going to take it. I don't need your applause on this. Please do not give me your applause. I don't deserve your applause in any way, shape, or form. But I have not visited that horrible place called Facebook in now 7 months. That's correct. Thank you. Thank you very much. I know. I'm very proud of myself as well. Thank you. Thank you. And on my Facebook page, which I do still have, yet I never visit, I do not have any of my personal information whatsoever. My name is there. What I do is there. But no personal information about me. Why would I volunteer that? Why would I say things to people who are friends who I've never met and tell them about myself and I don't know who you are? I think it's a stupid thing. People sending like voluptuous pictures of themselves and compromising positions or their tits hanging out of their clothes. Why? What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? For your own self-gratification, your own self-appreciation, to make you feel like you're worth something in this world because you let your tits hang out? Come on, guys. Seriously, what are you doing? I mean, you don't have to be a stickler for privacy, but you don't have to throw all your junk into the street so everybody can rummage through it. Seriously? And that's what Facebook is. And it's been proven that Facebook will sell your information. They don't say they do, but you know they do. And you just feed them. You feed them like wild animals who are about to gouge your arm off. You continue to feed them. What are you doing? I'm very concerned about cybersecurity. I know that at any given time, Russia, for example, let's take a cyber attack nation like Russia, could probably very easily just shut down our water system with a little bit of hacking expertise. Or shut down our power grid with a little hacking expertise. You know they could. Ron, there's plenty of safeguards. No, there's not. There's not. And if they are, they could fail too. No, Ron, they won't fail. All right, fine. Yeah, right. Cybersecurity is quite something. As soon as you use your credit card online, you've opened up a world of fun and fancy. Just be careful, kids. If I do this show for one reason, besides disgust you on a daily basis, it is to warn you about things that could happen, and your own stupidity could be the reason that horrible things are happening to you. Don't be your own worst enemy. The worst enemy should be Donald Trump. Let's focus. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to speak to a cybersecurity expert, at which point I have a feeling we may learn something that we probably don't know right now. But first this.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me. Naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked. I do the work naked. You pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House. Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook. Where I am naked.
Hi, Russ.
Ron, good morning. It's Russ Schrader. How are you?
Hey, Russ Schrader is the executive director of the National Cybersecurity Alliance, which is the nation's leading nonprofit public-private partnership promoting cybersecurity awareness and privacy education. They do all that good stuff. This is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I am aware that we need cybersecurity. I get that, but this is for people that don't know that, I guess.
Well, it's for everybody, even if you do know about it, because this is our 15th anniversary of Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Has it been
that
long?
But there's always new threats and always new things that people can do to keep themselves safer.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. If I just sit down in a chair and think about it, I'm under attack day and night. I know that's a pessimistic way of looking at it, but that's the reality, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is indeed. People's information is like money.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think it's even worse than that, because they can take your money and your pants and everything. Okay.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah. Russ, recently there was, I think it was it Facebook that was attacked or some other large social media thing, and I guess this happens on a regular basis. We don't even hear about all of the attacks that take place.
Well, we hear about the big ones. Every single state in the U.S. has a breach notification law. That, mm-hmm. Everybody who is breached is supposed to get a hold of the attorney general or the police or whoever the state statute says,
yeah,
and notify them so they can do stuff. And a lot of cases, depending on what's breached, notices are supposed to be published in newspapers and in the mail.
Yeah.
Ron, you may have gotten a few letters. You may have gotten credit cards reissued and things like that because of breaches.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary thing. Now, I know that there are professionals that are always trying to shut these things down, but what can we do as private citizens with our own stuff to make sure that doesn't happen to us? I always assume that whatever vessel I'm using is well secured. Is that indeed the case?
Well, I don't know whatever, but it may be secured on the day you bought it, but these threats, as you said, Ron, they're ongoing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of patches out there, a lot of things that have to be done, and so we ask people to lock down your login, you know, to get your username, get a password that's strong. Don't use 1234 or password or let me in.
Yeah.
And keep those security patches. Those security patches come out, and those updates to apps, they're there for a reason.
Yeah.
People who run the systems want you to be safe. They put out new code, but they need you to take it down and put it in your vessel.
Here's my problem, Russ, is that I have so many passwords. There's probably over 100 of them. I have to write them all down. There are some services that say that they will handle all your passwords for you, but what if someone hacks into that? Then they got all my passwords in one shot. I don't know how to handle that.
Right. Well, fortunately, that's not your job. That's their job. And they have certain ways of encrypting them and storing them that make them safer. And so certainly... nobody's going to say that anybody is 100% safe, but a password manager really is a good idea.
It is, okay.
Particularly if you've got 100 different kinds, because chances are, I bet, Ron, that a lot of them are pretty similar.
They could be.
People have to be aware.
Yeah. Well, Russ, I think you know my passwords, my God.
What is your high school mascot, Ron?
I tend to think people only have pets so they can use them as passwords. It's the only reason for having one. Yeah, it's kind of weird. The other thing are cell phones, if I may ask you, because I think almost all of us feel that cell phones are well protected. I don't know anybody that downloads a cell phone security software into their cell phone. We always think that's totally the responsibility of the cell phone carrier. Is that correct? Where does that lie?
It's a shared responsibility.
Ah.
Those things where everybody needs to do their part. You can't rely on somebody else to keep you safe.
Yeah.
When you're crossing the street, you can't rely on every driver paying attention to every red light.
You've got to
keep looking both ways before you cross. It's the same thing. We each have a little role to play.
Yeah. What about Wi-Fi? Public Wi-Fi is such a big thing. There are big signs on lobbies and in hotels and in train stations where this is your public Wi-Fi. Everybody goes, "Ooh, this is cool. They got Wi-Fi here." Is that a good idea to log on to somebody's Wi-Fi in a public sense like that?
Well, certainly you need to be aware that you have no idea who else is hacked in and what malicious actor is there.
Okay.
You certainly, I would not advise anybody to do financial transactions or health information or share deep personal details on a public Wi-Fi.
All right.
If you're checking to see is your plane on time, maybe that's a little different when you're in an airport.
Okay.
If you're looking at social media, maybe that's a little bit good too. But they have VPNs, virtual private networks, that you can get either free or at low cost that help encrypt and stop tracking. And you go to the public Wi-Fi. You open up a VPN, and there you can feel a little bit more secure about tracking and hacking the information. But once again, you're out in public. You wouldn't open up your bank statement and wave it around, and you know the money you just took out of the ATM in a public place.
Right.
So be very careful with your banking. Just the same way, the online and offline lives that we have—they're pretty indistinguishable now.
Yeah, except for Trump, he would wave it around. Okay, let's not get political now.
Not going there. Not going there today, Rod. It's a little early.
Was not the purpose of this. What are your predictions for tomorrow's internet? How could it be any more than it is, and how could it be safer?
Well, I think we are seeing that it's more than it is. You know, part of the promise of, you know, 3G, then 4G, and now 5G, it'll be faster. Towers will be smaller. We'll have more connectivity, fewer dark holes, but it's going to be more of the same. But the new things on top of it, like the Internet of Things, you know, people talk about, oh, your refrigerator sees that the milk is running low and orders another gallon of milk. Well, that's part of it. But the other part is having more safety in your house, being able to make sure that you did turn off the oven, that the doors are locked, that the lights do go on you're away. That you're saving power, you know, in those cold Boston winters by turning the thermostat down.
Right.
Those kind of things are really going to be helpful, and we'll see more of those.
If it ever comes to the point where I have to check with a computer to see if I need any more milk, then just bring me to a place and lock the door. I know that there's a lot of information, a lot of tips and suggestions on how you can be more secure. Everybody can be more secure. Where do we go to learn those?
Well, I'm going to do a shameless plug for the National Cybersecurity Alliance, and it's www.staysafeonline.org, because that's what we want you to do. We want you to lock down your login. We want you to keep a clean machine. Keep those patches up to date. Get rid of those apps you don't need. And then if you see something that looks suspicious, throw it out. When in doubt, throw it out.
I like that.
If you keep a good password, keep up to date, you're taking easy, simple steps to keep you and your family as safe as possible.
Okay. One more time, that website, please.
www.staysafeonline.org.
.org. Remember that org part. Hey, thanks for the information today. Good talking to you, Russ.
All right, thank you. Have
Take
a great
care.
Day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I don't think you have to say www. Dot anymore, do you? I don't think you do, since everything begins with that, without exception. There's no www.d. Dot. It's all www. So stop saying www. All right. Okay, you've drained me enough for one day. I'll be back again tomorrow, which time we'll spend some more time together, okay? Yeah? Huh? What do you mean no? Whatever. I wish you peace.